Open your Bibles up to John 14, if you would, please. John 14. This is a great chapter in the Bible. Many of us have looked at this chapter over our Christian walk. And just to give you a little background on what's going on here, Jesus has told his disciples he's going to leave them after 3 years of being with them. They're distraught. They're beside themselves, so Jesus is trying to comfort his disciples. And in doing so, he comforts us too, because we are his disciples. Bow your heads with me and let's go to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Oh, gracious God. Father, there's none like you. You control the winds, Father. You control every aspect of our world. It is through your hands and your words that we even exist. There is none like you. You are supreme. You are God. You are our Holy Father. And Father, we want to come to you this morning, Father, and confess that in our country, and in this world, we see a forsaking of you, Father. And it breaks our heart, your children. It breaks us. But we know through your holy word, Father, that these things must happen. We are not anxious. We are not kept in the dark. We see these things, and your scripture tells us that I'm at hand. Prepare yourself, for I am coming. Father, those are great words to us. Those are words of comfort and joy and victory. Father, we do pray for our country and our leaders. Lord, we pray that they would turn to you and turn to your will, Father. And we lead. We lead the people by your guidance, Father. We know, Heavenly Father, that you are in control of all things. And we know that we are your children. And that you have sent your Son for each of us. If there was only one person in the world that did not know Christ and it was a sinner, you would still send Christ. Just for that one. But there's many. There's everyone. And Father, you have raised us, each of us up, that we may carry your light and your lamp unto this world. Father, we thank you. Father, as we have a time for worship, we come in here, Father, and we worship you. Father, we ask that you be pleased in what we do here at First Baptist. Father, again, we bring all things before you. All things on our heart, all things that we lay before you, Father. We praise you, and we worship you, and we thank you, Father, for your grace is sufficient for all of us. And all God's people said, amen. You know, I can read this chapter. You see in the bulletin, John 14, 1 through 6, and I've looked at this passage for quite a while, and I had a good friend of mine this passage was very important to him. He's passed away and gone to glory. But it reminds me every time that I read this passage of him. And then what's going on here, Jesus has told his disciples that he's leaving them. And they're very distraught. And he says this, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me also. For in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. For I go prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will receive you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to where I'm going." And Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way?" And Jesus says this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me, or no one comes to the Father except through me. That is truth. You see the heading today, it says, what is truth? We're going to talk about that truth. When I was developing this sermon, and I kind of followed Steve Larson on this. He's a great upcoming theologian. I don't know if many of you know him, but he talks about truth, and what he says, I want to develop into a sermon. This is where that sermon comes from. But I also want to read you another truth that Jeremy read this morning, and then we'll start. Because I think this is truth too. We see truth in Scripture, and we're going to talk about that. By the way, somebody says, why do you want to preach on truth? Don't you know what you're getting yourself into? Because it's such a subject that we have as Christians and people, non-Christians. But let's take a look at what Jeremy read this morning in 2 Timothy. If you have your bulletin, fine, follow along with me. If not, just listen. He says, for a time will come, and this is truth here. Now, we're talking about truth. Time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, and because they have itchy ears, they will heap upon themselves teachers that they will turn their ears away from what? From the truth. And will be turned aside to fables. Now they're talking about Christians here. They're not talking about unbelievers. We see in the last days, we see a lot of falseness in our world today, don't we? You know, I want to start with the number one best-selling book in history. We know what that is. That's the Bible. But let me ask you a question. What is the second best-selling number one book, or let's say the number one selling book in the secular world? Let me ask you that. Do you know what that is? Now, this book was taught in our schools for years. It was mandatory reading for our children. This book is called The Pilgrim's Progress. Anybody heard that? Raise your hand. Have you heard that? This is a great book, by the way. It's the number one best-selling book there is in the world. It's standard reading in most of our Christian schools today. It was standard reading, like I said, in many years in our school system, but they removed it. This Christian classic was written by a man called John Bunyan. And this Christian classic was published in 1678. John Bunyan spent 12 years in prison, and let me give you a little background. John Bunyan was a preacher. He was an evangelicist, kind of unknown in that time, and he would preach on the corners to the people the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the church at that time was pretty stifled. Of course, we know, we hear people fleeing the church persecution back in those days and coming to the United States and starting in the United States because of... Well, John Bunyan was into this, and they told him to stop preaching the gospel. And he refused. So they threw him in prison. He spent 12 years in prison because he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, here's something that a lot of people don't understand. His cell door was kept unlocked. He could go at any time. He could leave at any time he wanted to. He had a wife. He had children. He could go at any time he wanted to under one condition, that he stopped preaching the gospel, and he spent 12 years in that prison cell because he refused to do what man said and to do what God had told him to do. John Bunyan paid a heavy price. He must obey God and not man. While in prison, though, he wrote this book, Pilgrim's Progress. This book here is an allegory of the Christian life. And so he wrote this allegory of the Christian life, and it talks about all the snares and the lures and the lies that distract the Christian, even in our world today. One of the main characters in this book is called Beelzebub. Now, we've heard that name before in the Bible. That's another name for the Canaan god Baal. And Beelzebub, the main character, his aim in this book, his number one aim is to sell the Christians the vanities of the world. He sells the many goods of the world, and he promises much happiness, but it never delivers. We see the world wants to sell its vanities to us as Christians. It says they mock Christians because of their faith, and they want to sell possessions and things of that vanity. And we're bombarded every day by that. It promises much happiness, but it never delivers. Christian, the main character, his name is Christian. He'll buy nothing. He'll buy nothing that Beelzebub has to offer, but one thing he'll buy. And you see the heading of our sermon today, what is truth? That is what he'll buy. He'll buy the truth. As Christians, that's what he says. The story is of the temptation of Christ when we see that the devil offers all the kingdoms of the world over to our Lord if he would just worship him. The devil offers it all if you just worship him. The Prince of Peace refuses, for Satan has nothing to offer Christ. This world has nothing to offer us. I had a hard time, not a hard time, but I spent a while on this sermon. It took me a little while to develop this thing, because I know how this word truth can be thrown around and how it can be just made haphazard. But let's take a look. And as a disciple of Christ, let me tell you, as a disciple of Christ, we seek after the truth. This is what put Paul Bunyan in prison, because he sought after the truth. Do you know that? We, as Christians, we are truth seekers. We seek after the truth. The possessions of this world mean nothing to us. The world mocks Christians and the Christian faith. And we see in our world today the persecution of the Christian faith, all because the Christian seeks the truth claims of Almighty God. We see the beheadings around the world and the persecution of Christians. Why? Because they seek after the truth and the truth only. They don't follow after what the world says. We who know the Lord, we're like pilgrims. Do you know that? Anybody ever called you a pilgrim? And I'm not talking to John Wayne pilgrim, but anybody ever call you a pilgrim? We are pilgrims in this world. You know that? We're just passing through. We're just passing through. And you know what? We're headed to a better land. We're headed to a heavenly city. We're just pilgrims. Can I get a witness? Amen? We as followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are enticed daily for the vanities of this world and what the world has to offer. I mean, each of us knows what I'm talking about here, don't we? We are enticed daily. Why do people want to come to the United States? Why do they want to come? It's because of what the United States has to offer. That's why they come. As believers in Jesus Christ, we must turn a deaf ear to the call of this world and remain focused upon one thing, the truth. I trust that your testimony here, as you're here today, is one of truth. I hope that you're sitting in these pews because of the truth. If you're here besides anything but the truth, you're here for the wrong reasons. I hope that that is your testimony. So why is truth so important? As Christians, the seeking of truth should be our number one priority in our lives, for nothing supersedes the truth. Now, if you're taking notes here, I want you to jot this down, because I'm going to tell you something that's very important here. Now, why would I say that? Because it sounds good? Because it's the right thing to say? Because that's what Christians say? No, I don't say that. Number one priority, this is it. Pay attention now. If you get nothing out of this sermon, please get this. The number one priority in our lives, here it is. No one can be born again without the truth. No one. That's starking. That's striking. No one can be saved without the truth. No one can come to a saving knowledge in God through His Son, Jesus Christ, independent of the truth. It can't happen, brothers and sisters. It can't. If anyone here, anywhere on our planet, is to be saved, if anyone is to be saved, including you, or to be converted to know Christ, it will always, listen to this, it will always be in response to the truth. People are not saved in response to a lie. That's how important the truth is. That's why it's number one priority. Without the truth, you can write this down. Without the truth, and this one really set me back when I came across this. Without the truth, you can't get into heaven. You can't without the truth. That's why it's important to us. That's why the world says, forget about the truth. This is my truth. We're going to talk about that, the trial truth is relevant. But again, you can't get to heaven without it. You'll never make it. It won't happen. Without the truth, you can't grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You can't be sanctified without the truth. Without the truth, you can't know God's will. And without the truth, you can't know God. Psalms 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." You can't, without the truth, you can't know and do God's work. Try to do God's work on a lie. See how that works for you. It doesn't. It won't. Without the truth, it can't be done. It is by the truth that we are equipped to do God's work. Do you know that? The work that you do for God is because of the truth. Remember what 2 Timothy 3:16 says? All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, reproving, correction, for training in righteousness. So the man of God is adequate and equipped for every good works. Without the truth, you cannot do the work of God. Falsehood doesn't work. Here it is. You can't even have the assurance of your salvation without the truth. Do you have assurance of your salvation? Do you know where you're going? It is because of the truth that you know that. Don't let anybody tell you something different. The world is going to tell you and sell its vanities to you. That's not the truth. John, or 1 John 5:13 tells us, now John's speaking. Now listen, he says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you might know that you have eternal life." That's the truth. So you'll know it. You can't worship God apart from the truth. You can't. You can't obey God apart from the knowledge of the truth. Jesus said that God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and, you can say it, let's try it again, spirit and truth. I must say again, this is sobering. You can't get to heaven apart from the right response to the truth. You can't get there. You can't get to heaven on a lie. So why is truth a priority in the Christian life? You can't worship without the truth. You can't be saved without the truth. You can't be sanctified without the truth. And you cannot serve God without the truth. Try to serve God in a lie. The truth is non-negotiable. It's non-negotiable. Jesus says, "You shall know the truth." Now I want you to, when I stop here, I want you to fill in the last word. You guys know this scripture. Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Isn't that great? The truth. That's why it's number one priority in the Christian life. It's what we seek after. And John 18:32 says, we see Jesus. I love this. I can picture this in my mind. And we know this story. We see Jesus standing in front of Pilate. And he tells Pilate why he came into the world. And he says this. And I quote, For this reason I have been born, and for this reason I have come into the world to testify to the truth. So what is truth? What does truth mean? I'll guarantee you ask what the truth is, and I'll guarantee you're going to get different answers. So let's get it, cut it right to the quick, and let's find out what is it. In one word, truth means reality. The way things really are. That's the truth. The truth is what corresponds to reality. The truth is not how things may appear to be. The truth is not how we want things to be. The truth is what is not what most people say something is. The truth is not what opinion polls says something is. The truth is not what society says something is. Instead, the truth is how things really are. Truth is not a distraction or a fabrication. Truth is reality. Apart from the truth, our lives are in a world of darkness, in a world of deception, and in a world of lies. For the truth is found in the written word of the living God. Here, the truth. Jesus prayed in John 17:17, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. Jesus said the word of God is truth. Truth is found in this book and this book alone. This is truth. Jesus quoting Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. Man shall live by what comes out of the mouth of God. This is the word of God here. This is how man should live. But the world says, no, oh no, 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 no. And they fill you with lies. Romans says, let every man be found, be a liar, let God be found true. So the meaning of truth is what? Reality. So what is truth? Reality. It's simple. You don't need to have a PhD and a million degrees behind you to understand what the truth is. It's reality. It's the way things really, really are. As you live your Christian life, you must have the accurate understanding of the way things are. You must have an accurate understanding of who God is as a Christian. As a Christian, you must have an accurate understanding of who you are. I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's who I am. And we must have an accurate understanding of who Jesus Christ is. And we must have an accurate understanding of the way of saving grace. We must understand those things. And it is by the truth that you enter into the Christian life. If you call yourself Christian, it is by the truth that you enter into that life. That you will grow and be sanctified in your Christian walk. Only through the truth that you can accomplish that. So what are the distinguishing marks of the truth? Well, we know that truth is divine. It's holy. Truth only comes from above. Truth does not originate in this world. It doesn't come from this world. It only comes from above. Truth must come from God Himself. You know, truth comes to us from divine revelation. There's nothing that you know about God. There's nothing that you know about the Scriptures. There's nothing that you know about Jesus Christ that has not been revealed to you in some form or a matter, whether you read it or somebody shared the gospel with you. It has been revealed to you. And that revealing comes from God. That's where it comes from. The truth must come from God Himself. Truth comes from divine revelation. God is the author of all truth. And He is the source of all truth. He himself is the standard of all truth. How do we set our standards of truth in our world? It is by the standards of God that we set that truth. You know, he is the final judge of all truth. Now listen to this. If you're writing down notes, try to stay up with me. Truth is whatever God says it is. Well, let's just explore that. Man is what God says man is. Sin is what God says sin is. Heaven is what God says heaven is. And hell is what God says hell is. And we talked about this last week. The final judgment is what God says the final judgment is. God himself is in fact truth. We read in Psalms 31:5. We read that God is the God of truth. And in Ephesians 4:21, we read that the truth is in Jesus. No, the truth ain't in us. I pray that the truth is in us, yeah. But it's in Jesus. So what is the truth? Where is it at? It's in Christ. There's not one drop of truth outside of Jesus. There's not one drop of truth outside of Jesus, our Lord, and outside of Christ. Everything outside of Christ are lies and deceptions and falsehoods. All of it. And you're going to have people debate you on that when you make that statement. Truth is a self-expression of God himself. We want to know God, look at the truth. When we take a look at truth and we understand what truth is, we see the very face of God. Because truth comes from God Almighty himself. Only one place. Not the world. Don't buy into the vanities of the world. Don't buy the lies that they say, well, just do this, get this, possess all this, and you'll be happy. And like I said in the opening, it never, ever fulfills its promise. Never. I'm preaching to the choir. I know this. People say, well, why do you got to say that, Scott? I already know all that. Well, I also go back to Peter when he says, I'm here to stir you up. I'm here to remind you. Remember last week we talked about reminding, remembering what God has done for us. Remember, so we never forget. And sometimes we got to be stirred up again, don't we? Because we get kind of stagnant sometimes. So we lay on this truth, and the truth comes out of us, and the truth stirs us back up again. Praise God for the truth. Truth is a self-expression of God himself. When you're in the midst of truth, you're in the midst of God, because that's where it comes from. Okay, now, so let's get to the point. Well, your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth. Let's cover that a little bit, because that's what you're going to hear that. When you go out and you spread the gospel, you go out, and I've heard this over and over from my own family members to those who I don't even know. Well, that's your truth is your, and mine's mine, and we just all, God just loves us all. That's what the world says. And that's a lie. And that's a deception, and that lie will drag you right to hell. Yeah, God loves you. You betcha he does. He'll love you all the way to hell. He'll love you all the way there. And I've said this before, there's many ways to hell. Many. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through the truth. The truth claims of Jesus Christ. If you think there's any more than one way to heaven, you're fooling yourself. You're not in the truth. Because the scripture tells clearly there's only one way. What I just read this morning, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Don't let them tell you there's many ways. There's only one. And that is through the truth claims of Jesus Christ himself. He tells us how to get there. So let's take a look at that. Truth is absolute. And by this I mean that truth is not relative. You go, wait a minute, don't throw all these big fancy words at me. Well, let's just, there is not one truth for you and one truth for me, a different truth in the south, and a different truth in the north, and a different truth in the east, and a different truth in the west. No. Truth is absolute because truth is absolute. It transcends individual. What is true for me is true for you. Whether I believe it or whether I get on board with it or not, it doesn't matter. It's still the truth. And not only does it transcend individuals, it transcends regions. We have regions that the truth is still the same here as it is in the south. It is in the north. It's still the same. People argue about this. The world's going to argue on this. But they have no standing in this. Truth is absolute. Are you absolutely sure? Absolutely. You've heard the other side of it. You know, truth is not absolute. Are you absolutely sure? Well, I'm saying that truth is absolute, and I'm absolutely sure that it is absolute. And I hope you are too. I hope you're convicted. I hope that's your testimony here. In this building, here, where you're at, wherever you're at. Not just here, but right now. I hope that's your truth. And it's your testimony. There's not a different truth for you and a different truth for me. You know, truth transcends nations. Whether nations believe in the scriptures, believe in God, or believe in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter. It's still the truth for England as it is for the United States, as it is for Saudi Arabia, as it is for the Philippines. Any nation, any country, it's still the same. It's absolute. That's why that you can go any place in the world. Try this if you go any place in the world, by the way. If you go any place in the world, and some of you out here, I know that you've been overseas and stuff, and some of you haven't, but try this. Any place in the world, you can go and talk to a Christian. Why? Because the truth claims of God are the same for him as it is for me. Anywhere. You might not be able to even speak the language, but you can still have a conversation about Jesus Christ because the truth is still the truth. It transcends our world. Don't let anybody ever tell you that your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth, because that is a lie. That is outside the scriptures, and anything outside the scriptures is a lie. We have to live in a world of lie and deception. That's why God has raised you up. Hallelujah for each one of you. Because you're a lamp unto the feet of the world in the world of darkness. And what do we take into the world of darkness? The truth. Because if you're taking lies into the world of darkness, I'm going to tell you the truth. Here's the truth. If you're taking lies into a world of darkness and you're preaching lies, guess what? Here's the truth. You're going to stand in front of your Creator and give an account of why you did that. You know, I had a pastor tell me one time, and I've heard you guys, I'm sure you've heard this story before. It wasn't that the Christian truth that really drove me to my knees. It was when the pastor got up and talked about hell and damnation and fire and brimstone, it scared me so much that it drove me to Christ. But it was the truth that drove him there. Don't let anybody tell you that there's different truths. There's only one, and that's Jesus Christ. That should make us jump up for joy. Yeah! You've been pulled out of a world of darkness. You've been set apart from a dying world to be a light to that dying world. We're going to talk about our position as Christians in the world and what we're doing. Because I think that's a big problem in our churches today, that we have a lot of people who come in and worship truly and are in the truth and love the Lord and all stuff, but they don't do anything. You go, well, I can't do anything. I'm not going to get up there. I can't do that. Well, that might be true. You can't. But you can share the gospel with somebody. You can have a Bible study with somebody. You can come along with somebody and tell them about the love of Jesus Christ. That's doing the work of the kingdom. God has lifted you up and put you where you wanted to at this point in time for that specific purpose. We talked about last week how vital Christians are. This is why you're vital. Why are you vital? Because you hold something that the world doesn't have. The truth. And it's something that is vital to a dying world. You've heard the old adage, I'd much rather have somebody tell me the truth than tell me a lie. It's the same thing with the Christian. I'd much rather have somebody tell me the truth than tell me a lie, whether I agree with it or not. Now, let's talk about that. You don't have to agree with the truth. You don't have to agree with it. There are a lot of people who say, I don't agree with that. I like that, but I don't like that. I think you're full of it. I agree with this over here. Guess what? It doesn't change the fact. You don't have to agree with the scriptures. You don't have to agree with the gospel. You don't even have to follow the gospel. But it still doesn't change the fact that there's only one way to heaven, and that is through the scripture, that is through the truth, and that is through the truth of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. You don't have to believe it either. But it doesn't change the truth. I like those people who really strive to argue the truth. We have it in our world today. Take a look at the claims of evolution. That's all one lie. If you was here last week or last week at evening service, we seen how the lie of evolution has escaped our world, our children. You know, the first thing they say in evolution, we talked about this, and when they talk, they give them a book of dinosaurs in kindergarten. They can't read yet, but they give them a book of dinosaurs, and all kids like dinosaurs. All kids, you like dinosaurs? Raise your hand. You like dinosaurs? Raise your hand. Yeah, everybody. Yeah. Even grown-ups, you can raise your hand too if you like dinosaurs. And the first words in that book is the lie, and they set forth, and it's so smooth. And what they say is, and you open the book, and what it says is, millions and millions of years ago, they got them right there. They got them. They got this young mind that's in kindergarten that doesn't even read, but can kind of tell what the first words, and as soon as they hear millions and millions of years ago, boom, it's implanted in their head. And now they go through school, and they continue to hear the lie. Hitler said, you tell a lie long enough, they'll believe it. It's a lie that's bombarding us as Christians, our children, everything. Anything outside of Christ is a lie and a deception. I can't be more adamant about that. I better move on or I'm not going to get done here. You can go anywhere. I talked about that. You can go anywhere and have a conversation. Truth is very discriminating. Do you know that? We don't like that word, discriminating. Well, I'm not here to be politically correct, okay? Truth is discriminating. Some things are either true or they're untrue. It's like being pregnant. I've used this analogy before. You women know this. It's like being pregnant. Truth is like being pregnant. Either you are or you aren't. There's no in-between. There's no gray area there. Either you are pregnant or you aren't. Either you have the truth or you don't. It's very discriminating. Here it is. All things are not true. Whoa. Whatever contradicts biblical truth is by definition. Let me give you the definition of false. All things that are not true. All things, whatever contradicts the biblical truth by definition is false. And whatever is false is incompatible with the truth, and therefore it is in error. Simple definition. Because the truth is absolute, it is sovereign. Because the truth is absolute, it reigns and rules. We as Christians must be in submission to the truth that God has spoken. Truth is objective. And now what do I mean by objective? Well, let me do it this way. You know, I feel that God, that's what I'm talking about. Truth is not a feeling. You know why truth is not objective and not a feeling? Because I can be happy one minute and then I can be upset the next. We just got done saying truth is absolute. There's no wavering of it. Feelings waver. We can be happy, we can be sad. We can be angry, we can be glad. Truth is absolute. It's right down the middle. There's no wavering. Truth does not fluctuate like feelings. It is conveyed in clearly defined words that have precise meaning. Truth is concrete. All those who do concrete out here, Jerry, you know what concrete is. You know how hard it is. You know how solid it is. Truth is solid. It's concrete. You can't move it. Truth is black and white. It either is or it's not. There's no in between. And truth does not, or truth is narrowly defined. I mean narrowly defined by the Word of God. Something are true regardless how anybody feels about it. We talked about that. Truth is never vague. Go, well, Jesus, can you? I don't know what that is. Truth never speaks out of both sides of the mouth. Truth is, now, and I've had to practice this word, so bear with me. Truth is pacific. Did I say that right? No, my wife, would, if she was sitting here, she would be shaking her head no. That's as close as I can get, folks. God bless her, I tell you. Truth is never fuzzy. It's razor sharp. It's exact. Truth tells it like it is. In the Bible, truth is always singular. You ever know that? In the Bible, truth is always singular. It's never found in the plural. We read the truth in all the Word of God, and it's always singular. You know, those who know their English knows what a definite article is. And a definite article, you'll find, is the. The is the definite article. It's the truth. It's not many truths. You'll never find that in the Bible. It's always the truth. Because it's singular. You know, the Bible is all one statement of truth, and it gives one diagnosis for the human dilemma. The Bible presents one way of salvation. The Bible presents one history of redemption. The Bible presents one Savior for sinners. The Bible presents one plan for the family. And the Bible presents a way to pursue holiness unto eternal life. It's all or nothing. You can't pick and choose what you want in the Bible and pass over the rest. That would be like, think about that, picking and choosing what you like in the Bible and forgetting about the rest. It'd be like me coming to you in a house and knocking on your door, and you go, who is it? And I go, Scott Wiggins. And you go, okay, well, Scott can come in, but Wiggins, he has to stay out. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. I thought that was funny. As Christians, we believe in the whole counsel of God as revealed in the Scriptures. God does not change, neither does God's truth change. God's truth is consistent from age to age. What was true in Jesus' time is true in our time. What was true in your grandfather's time is true today. What was true in your great-great-great-grandfather's time is true today. It never changes. It transcends generations. It's timeless. Right is always right, and wrong is always wrong. Society, and let's get into society a little bit here, and what the vanity of the world says. I got to hurry up here. I'm going to work on it. That's the truth. Society might redefine morality. We've seen that. They say, well, gay marriage is okay. You know, abortion's okay. The killing of 55 million unborn babies, that's okay. Society, that's what society says. Culture might try to reclassify what is right and wrong. They say what is wrong is right and what's right is wrong. We read that in the Bible, we know that. And they come to that point. Boy, we see that point today, don't we? They're saying evil is good and good is evil. That's what society says. But does it change the truth? Here it is. New truths are old heresies. They are heresies against the living Word of God. Truth never changes. Never. Psalm 119:89 says, "Oh, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." I did some research on this. And so I went back. Some of you know that I study Hebrew a little bit. And so I went back and I got my Hebrew lexicon out and my Hebrew Bible. And I went through it and I translated it into English. And, well, let me read that again. It says, our Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." This is what it says in the Hebrew. "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." It says what it means and it means what it says. There's no changing. In Isaiah 40, it says, "The grass withers and the flowers fade away, but the word of the Lord abides forever." The truth is always up to date. It's never outdated. It's always relative. It always speaks to every generation, every city, every country. Truth demands something from us. The life of every person is defined. Now listen to this. Your life is defined by your relationship to the truth. Every person's life is defined by its relationship to the truth. Especially in a small town. You know, people know who are scallywags and who are not. People know who are Christians. I mean, your life is defined by the truth and your relationship to it. Truth determines whether you'll spend eternity. It will. Truth will determine where you're going to spend eternity. Truth determines whether you are in God's kingdom or outside God's kingdom. Again, you don't have to buy into the truth, but it determines where you're at in your walk. Truth has the power to convict. It has the power to save. It has the power to judge. It has the power to damn. It has the power to conform. The authentic Christian is concerned first and foremost, and I hope this is your concern, with the truth. First and foremost, above all things. Everything we need to know to live a life of godliness is written for us in the truth of Scripture. God only wrote one book. That's the Bible. So how are we to respond to the truth? Well, we are to receive it. We are to acquire it. To receive the truth into your life, as well as your soul. Refuse the truth of the Word of God, and you will be in a perilous state. That's the truth. Receive the truth by faith. Receive the truth with all your heart. Receive the truth in your mind through the pages of Scripture. Read it. Seek to understand it. Incorporate it into our lives. Revere it. Stand in awe of the Bible. There is no other book like the Bible. None. Take what it says seriously. For it's the very voice of God, the Bible. And when the Bible speaks, God speaks. Rejoice in the Bible. Rejoice in the Word of God. Let your soul find comfort in this book. Not there, because you ain't going to find it. Let this book of truth lift you up when you're down. Let this book of truth encourage you when you are discouraged. There's nothing like it in the world that can lift up your spirit like that of the truth that's found in the Word of God. Rely upon it. It is more sure of the path that you should take than anything else in the world. This book is so sure of the path that you should take, you'll never find anything else like it in the world. The truth is never misguided. The truth has never misguided our lives, has it? Has the truth ever led you away into destruction? Absolutely not. When you can't see your way in this dark world, hold forth to the truth that is found in the lamp of the Word of God. You'll see the way. You will see the narrow path that you're supposed to take. This book is sure of that. So reflect on the truth. Meditate on the truth. Let it fill your mind, your soul. Run with the truth and live with it. Don't keep the truth for yourself. Now we're going to talk just a really quick about that. Don't keep it to yourself. Pass it on to others. Bear witness to the truth. Testify to the truth. Teach it. Preach it. As Christians, we'll have none of the vanities of the world, which offers and cannot satisfy and cannot save. Give me the truth. Do not love our world or the things in this world. Jesus tells us, he who does the will of the Father will abide forever. Turn your back on the world. Say no to its lies and corruptions. Deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow after Jesus. That's the truth. You know, it may cost us our lives sooner than we think. Christian persecution is coming at us at an accelerated rate. We see more persecution in our world today than we did just 5 years ago. It's coming, folks. It's coming. May we be like Christ and be willing to pay the ultimate price if called upon for the truth. Because when persecution comes, they're going to call upon the truth. And they're going to persecute you because of the truth. They're not going to persecute you because you're such a persecuted person. They're going to persecute you because you preach the truth of God. That's where it's coming. And we see it in our world today that these Christians are getting beheaded and getting killed, skinned alive, pulled apart. Why? Because they're Christians? No, because they testify to the truth. That's why. Just like Paul Bunyan spent 12 years in prison because he would not settle for man. Let's pray. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee that You are a God of all truth. We thank that You speak to us in perfect truth. And there is no error in Your Word. Lord, we treasure the truth, and we know that we have become to believe the truth of Your Word, of Your Gospel, because Your Spirit has worked in our lives, and in our lives He is the Spirit of truth. And He has opened our understanding to that truth. He has written in the sacred scriptures the truth. And I pray at this time that we've had together will deepen our confidence in the truth of Your Word. And may we say, as for me and my house, we will stand on the truth in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.